Welcome to the Casey Kowar Show, a celebration of words. And I'm delighted to have as my guest today James Lee Burke. And we'll be discussing Mr. Burke's newest novel, Crusaders Crossed, which has just been published by Simon & Schuster. First of all, Jim, thanks so much for appearing on the show today.
Well, thanks for inviting me, Casey.
Jim, the Dave Robichaux series, of which Crusaders Crossed is a Robichaux novel, is become one of the most loved series in crime fiction. And if we could for a moment, let's go back to March of 1987 with The Neon Rain, which was the first in the series. And when did the idea of the character of Dave Robichaux begin materializing in your mind?
I had gone through a long period, actually about 14 years, when I was out of hardback print. And I wrote several novels during that time that I thought were failures. One dealt with a young Cajun boxer and who falls in love with a girl named Bootsy Mutaw from Spanish Lake outside New Iberia. And I also wrote a story that involved John Bell Hood and a crime family from New Orleans by the name of the Giacanos. It's a story based on the search for the Grail. But anyway, I thought these novels were failures. They were never printed, but they became the material for The Neon Rain.
And so when The Neon Rain was published, New Iberia has been the place where a lot of the plot lines have taken place. And when you chose New Iberia as the setting for the Robichaux series, what was it particularly about New Iberia, Jim, that drew you to it as the place to set your stories?
Well, it's a wonderful place to write about because the history of the United States in many ways is encapsulated in that small area of southern Louisiana. It's simply more visible. It's still with us. The same events occurred in the north perhaps two centuries ago, but they repeated themselves more recently in our own history. It's really a kind of displaced portion of South America that's washed away and ended up on the wrong side of the Caribbean. It's a far more Caribbean Spanish and French culture than it is American.
And with Heaven's Prisoners, which was the second novel in the series, published in 1988, we get introduced to some of the important characters in the series, Annie, which was Dave's first wife, and then Alifair, who becomes Dave's adopted daughter from El Salvador. And in Heaven's Prisoners, Jim, it seems like some of the themes begin to develop of bad cops, dangerous families, and this starts to become an important theme and important things in Robichaux's life. And when you wrote Heaven's Prisoners, did you start to get a feel that the series was really heading in a direction you wanted it to go?
Yeah, the first three books actually were meant to be a trilogy having to do with descent into the abyss and ultimately redemption. I always say it was my attempt at paradise lost and regained. But yeah, I envisioned three books, and then as I wrote those books, it became obvious the story was much larger than one of one man's odyssey, that the sociological implications, the historical ones, I think became more apparent to me.
And the third book in the series was Black Cherry Blues, which won the Edgar in 1990 for the best mystery novel, and I think also has one of the most beautiful dust jackets in crime fiction.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it won best crime novel of 89. Actually, I received the award in 90. That's right, it's best crime novel of the year.
And when you wrote In the Electric Mist with Confederate Dead, which was the sixth novel in the series, working towards Crusaders Crossed the 14th, it seemed to me that with Electric Mist, the writing becomes very lyrical, and in this book, Robichaux has some dreamlike encounters. And to me, as a reader, that book is really where you started differentiating yourself from the rest of the crime writers in terms of the quality of the prose. And The Electric Mist with the Confederate Dead, is that, how does that book feel to you now after you, after some years have gone by?
Well, it's interesting how you put it, that it is, I think, a unique book. It's unusual, certainly. And when it came out, it received, I guess, some pretty harsh criticism. Yeah, I guess that's fair to say. Some pretty harsh criticism, but I always liked it. I have a bias, of course.
Sure.
But it was my first attempt at using myth, and I used the legend of King Arthur and the promise Arthur makes to his followers upon his death that he would return to England in a time of need. And of course, the Arthurian legend is bound up with the search for the Grail, the good knight in search of redemption. And I used the Confederate general, John Bell Hood, as the Arthurian knight. And I think it's really quite a book.
Yes, I do too. And when we get to Crusader's Cross, which, as I mentioned, is the 14th in the series, recently published by Simon & Schuster, we find Dave Robichaux. Life has changed quite a bit for Dave. Bootsy, his second wife, is dead. Alifar has gone away to college. He sold his bait and tackle shop to Batiste. And there's a lot of change going on in his life in this book, isn't there, Jim?
Correct, yes.
And Dave's half-brother, Jimmy, is a part of this novel as well. And talk, if you would, a little bit about the era you set it in, the 1950s, and it's kind of a reflective book, and I enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, the first chapter begins in the year 1958, when Jimmy Robichaux and Dave are working for an offshore seismograph crew, and they become involved with a Galveston prostitute by the name of Ida Durbin. And she's also a singer and a mandolin player who's been caught up in the white slavery trade. And later on, they become involved with Ida again. They believed for many years that Ida had been murdered. And then a man makes a deathbed confession to Dave Robichaux in the year 2004 and tells him, in part, what happened to Ida. And that's the central plot of Crusader's Cross. Of course, the story also deals again with myth. I made use of the legend of Attila the Hun and the Battle of Chalons and Attila the Hun's love affair with Honoria, the sister of the Roman Emperor Valentinus.
Jim, what is it that one of the things I always find fascinating is you are so good at portraying damaged families, and particularly in the Louisiana area, who have, it seems like, because they've had so much money for and so much power for so long, that they've all become damaged in some ways. And the Chalon family fits this category. And tell us a little bit about that family and the sister, the father, how this relates to Crusader's Cross.
Well, we meet this group of people, the Chalon family, who live in an ancient home outside of Generette, Louisiana. It's eaten through with termites. The grounds are overgrown with what appear to be poisonous plants. And the patriarch of the family is a man named Raphael Chalon, who's a cross between the Prince of Darkness, I think, and a knightly rant. Dave Robichaux has some trouble sorting out his own feelings about Raphael. But Raphael has two children. One is Honoria Chalon, who appears to be mad. She's also infatuated with Dave, the way a poisonous flower is fascinated with its prey. And her brother is a television personality, a newsman who has something of a national reputation. He appears to be a libertarian sort of fellow, but as we find out, ultimately he's a character assassin. And when Dave becomes involved with the Catholic nun, his enemies use this to destroy Dave's reputation. I think it's quite a book. It may be my best in the series, I think. Some people feel it's just...
I would have to agree with that, and I love the Catholic nun that Dave meets, and
she's a great character. Yeah, Molly Boyle.
Now, when you started along that plot line, did you have any idea that's where that was going to go when those two met?
Well, I guess in part, Helen Swallow, who is the sheriff. Quite a lady in her own right, tells Dave that for years he's been seeking two things. One, he's wanted to climb onto a cross, and he wanted to figure out a way how to marry his own church. He's got Dave pretty well figured out.
Yes, and her character really comes alive, I think, in Crusader's Cross, Helen's character. She really... gets her own voice, and I think she's just a wonderful character.
Yeah, she is. She's a great character. Yeah.
And Jim, one of the things that I'd like to ask you about is when you write a novel like Crusader's Cross, how does the revision process go for you? Because when I read your novels, my wife, Tina Rich, always laughs at me because when I get a new James Lee Burke novel, she knows I'm going to read the first paragraph out loud to her because the prose is so lush and so beautiful and so evocative. And when you're writing when you wrote Crusader's Cross, do you pretty much go with the first draft more of a plot-driven idea, or do you write lyrically like that naturally?
Well, I write methodically, put it that way. I don't have a plot in mind. I never know where a story's going. When I begin the story, I see one or two scenes ahead, and that's the way it is every day. I never know where the book is going. But I work each day. I work 7 days a week, and I aim for 500 words at a minimum. 1,000 words usually is the maximum for the work day. And in the morning, I revise those words, and then I start the new day's work. And when I get to the end of the manuscript, I don't have much revision to do. I go back through it a couple of times, but it's pretty tight as a rule.
So you're only a scene or two ahead of the plot as you're going. That's amazing.
That's it. Yeah, I kind of feel like a spectator more than a creator of the story.
Now, Jim, you must be very proud. Your daughter, Alifair, is becoming a successful crime writer in her own right. And it's really kind of a wonderful piece of serendipity that Alifair, the character that we've all come to love in the Dave Robichaux series, is now writing her own series. And you must be a pretty proud father.
Yeah, we have four kids, and we're proud of them all. But Alifair is the one who embarked early on as a writer in her career. She's an attorney, but she's been writing since first grade. She started writing mystery stories when she was only 6 years old. And she had some great stories titled, I think, The Case of the... was it The Case of the Cow, the Cat Who Had Its Meow Stolen? Something like that. She wrote another one called The Roller Ring Murders. But anyway, her new book, I think, is a big jump ahead for her, too. It's really a fine book. The first two books were very good. The third one, I think, is a home run, boy. It's a really fine book. It's titled Close Case.
Close Case. Good. Well, I hope to have her on the show so the listeners will get some exposure to Alifair Burke as well.
Yeah, she's got a great sense of humor, and she's got a wonderful protagonist, Samantha Kincaid. It's really, the character's very much like Alifair. And she was a prosecutor in Portland before she became a law professor. And she's a really good prosecutor. She graduated at the top of Stanford Law.
Wow. You know,
that's right. She gets her brains from her mom. She was a Phi Beta Kappa in Lardy. I forget what her GPA was, but it was almost perfect when she graduated from Stanford.
That's fantastic. Jim, a question I've always wanted to ask you is, when you receive mail from your readers and your fans about Dave Robichaux, a lot of times, are they concerned about the plots in the stories? Are they concerned about Dave personally, like in Jolie Blonde's Bounce? Dave had kind of a rough go in that book. Are they more concerned about Dave as a human being than about the stories themselves, by and large?
I think you're absolutely correct. That's it. The people who write into the message board, my daughter Pamela runs a website for my work. A lot of people visit it. Golly, in fact, it's a huge number. I can't remember it. It's just enormous, the number of, what do you call them, guest site visitations or whatever. I'm not very knowledgeable about the technology. But almost everything people write in has to do with the characters in the book. Billy Bob Holland or Dave Robichaux, or even in the short stories. But they're more interested in the lives and the psychology of the characters than the events in the story. Even the animals, Tripod, the raccoon, and the cat named Snugs who live with Dave, and the horse named Tex, Alifair's Appaloosa.
Yeah, Tripod is a wonderful, wonderful character, the three-legged raccoon.
He's a great character.
Yes.
He and Batiste have this symbiotic relationship.
Yeah. Jim, you mentioned briefly Billy Bob Holland, and Cimarron Rose was published in 98, and In the Moon of the Red Ponies in 2004, which was a personal favorite of mine. When you created the character of Billy Bob Holland, who's an attorney and an ex-Texas Ranger, was that kind of to give yourself a break from Robichaux, or was this a character that you just decided that you wanted to write about?
Oh, it's the latter. I've written about the Hollands for many years. I was writing about them, the Holland family, before I wrote the first Dave Robichaux book. Let's see, Two for Texas is about the patriarch of the family. It takes place during the Texas Revolution. And Lay Down My Sword and Shield deals with a lawyer named Hackberry Holland, who's Billy Bob's cousin. And let's see, I wrote a number of short stories about the Hollands as well. So Cimarron Rose was really just an extension of the earlier work.
Okay. And Jim, I appreciate your generous time today. And one thing I'd like to just close the interview with is maybe a connection. We talked about Alifair, but maybe a lot of others don't know that your cousin was André Dubuis, the great short story writer.
Yeah, that's right.
And I can remember I sent André a card many years ago telling him that I had discovered this writer, James Lee Burke, who wrote The Neon Rain and Heaven's Prisoners. And he wrote me back telling me that you and he were first cousins and had spent every summer together since childhood.
Yeah, that's right. We were only 4 months apart, and we're kind of inseparable as kids.
That's fantastic. Well, quite a writing family. Jim, thanks so much for your time today. Best of luck with Crusader's Cross, and hope to catch up with you when the next book comes out.
Well, thanks a million, Casey, for having me on your show. You do a great interview, so it's very professional and courteous. I appreciate it.
Very good. Thanks a lot, Jim.